So, welcome, you guys. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chloe Ballatore, and I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. I use the tools of transactional analysis as created by Eric Byrne. I use the tools of androgynous semantic realignment as created by my mentor, Pat Allen. And I use tools that I've come up with myself because I've been doing this work for about 12 years now. I'm also over, well, I'm been with my partner for over 25 years. Wow. Yeah. So, well, just about 25 years, I guess. So I have been through it. I found this work when I was really struggling in my marriage, and I can confidently say that I got results from this work that I never got from any other therapeutic modality. So I really believe in this work and have seen it change the lives of people who apply themselves to it. Okay, what is this work? What are we talking about here? When we talk about relationships and specifically about successful relationships, the most successful relationships are those that are balanced between yin and yang energy, also known as feminine and masculine energy. Okay. And whether you're in a straight relationship or a homosexual relationship, the principles still apply that this balance, this of complementary energies with an E, is what sets a foundation for the most successful relationship. I'm going to teach you guys a bunch of tools when we start with the questions. You don't have to always do this work. It's specifically meant for awkward situations and conflicts. So, like first dates, getting to know each other, and conflicts, obviously, fights. But it will help you, just understanding the dynamics will give you an overall advantage in life in general. And that's what I love about this work is that you start making changes in one area and it just radiates out through all of your life. A lot of times I'm working with people and they have a breakthrough in their relationships and then they start making a lot of money and then, a bunch of things happen often really rapidly. That's what actually drew me to this work is I saw phenomenal results in a friend who had gone from being a very young single mom to getting a great job, marrying the guy of her dreams. And it really impressed me in the space of about 3 years. And so I wanted to know what she was having. And that's what brought me in and drew me to this work. At that time, I didn't really know what was wrong in my life, but I was just really unhappy. And a lot of times, that's what it takes. It takes hitting bottom. It takes being really unhappy in order to seek out help and to be willing to make change because change is inherently painful, even change for the better. And it's one of the least mentioned aspects of traditional therapy that when you start making changes in your life, just the fact of it being a change causes pain. And oftentimes that scares people into stopping making changes. The devil is the fear of change. So we need to be able to change if we want to grow spiritually, psychologically. It's very important. Okay, so what are we talking about, feminine and masculine? There's a lot of misunderstanding about what these terms mean. But basically, all of us are both. All of us have a right hemisphere of the brain that is artistic, that is sensual, that is the world of feelings, of artistry, of creativity, sexuality, sensitivity, that is non-linear thinking, magic. This is energy that is in the world to make it fun, but not of the world. It's receiving, it's passive, patient, vulnerable. Okay, that's yin or feminine energy. That's the right hemisphere of the brain. And then all of us have that left hemisphere of the brain that is masculine, that is conquering, competitive, controlling, the seat of linear thought, of single-mindedness. And most of us are in our masculine when we're at work because we're doing, we're achieving, we're taking care of things, we're giving. These are all masculine or yang attributes. And all of us have a unique relationship within ourselves that is authentic to ourselves between these two kinds of energy. Okay. Similarly, in our most intimate and romantic relationships, it helps to know which you want to inhabit more. Do you want your feelings cherished, which is more of the feminine mode, or do you want your thoughts respected, which is more of the masculine mode? Everybody wants both. But when there's a conflict, when you're trying to work out something in an awkward situation, it's helpful to know which is more important. And it's especially helpful if you have that balance between you as a couple. And that really helps you avoid conflicts and helps you negotiate with love. One of the principles of transactional analysis is that there's three ways to communicate: either to bully with fear and intimidation, which is the masculine in the extreme, to seduce with tears or guilt, which is the feminine in the extreme, or to negotiate with love, which is what I teach. And that's going back and forth with these complementary energies. And there's a rubric that I use for conflicts. There's a rubric that I use for dating. And as your guys' questions come up, you can see that. I've written four books on this work. You can check those out on Amazon. I put that into the chat. I also teach this work in small groups a few times a year. Actually, we're doing a second module now, which is module two, New Ways of Being, the Navigating Change. And I basically teach my books. So if you want to sign up, that's under module packages. I have the books, and I usually put up some original content on social media. I try for every day. So if you guys like this work and you want to do more, you can hit me up also for privates. I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples, I work with teenagers. And we get a lot done that way too. I love working in a group because we all learn so much from from each other. And we tend to discover that we have a lot more in common with each other than we had maybe previously thought. It's also great to work one-on-one because then we can go deeper. It's more private, et cetera. So that's that. One of the things that I focus on when I work with people, and it'll probably come up tonight at some point, is childhood trauma and unearthing negative scripting from childhood. Because when we see problems in relationships, and especially when we see what's known as ego dystonia, which means you were forced as a child to become precociously related, to perhaps grow up too fast if you were a girl, becoming that Wendy, that caretaker, inhabiting that masculine energy as the mom, the doer. Or if you were in the mass, if you're growing up, conversely, if you're masculine energy, but you weren't given respect or you weren't given responsibility, if you were spoiled, if you were neglected, you may have developed into a Peter Pan type characters, the other archetype where you can't grow up, right? You can't take responsibility. You can't make it to that next level. So these are a lot, these are two of really strong archetypes that I help people understand. And if they're operating in their lives to their disadvantage, we try to unearth those dynamics and then make different choices. When we have childhood trauma, we get thrown into those roles more easily. And so oftentimes we're dealing with things that happen between the ages of 0 to 12, because that's really the source of most triggers. Okay, so that's what the scholarship that this work is based on. It's pretty well established, right? Yin Yang's like thousands of years old, and the knowledge that we have about brains is more recent, about brain hemispheres. That comes from probably the 1980s, and probably starting in around the late 90s, 2000s, Neuroscientists discovered that the brain can change. And so that's been really helpful and useful because in Freud's time, he didn't think that the brain could change. You're pretty much cooked by age 12, and then you just had to deal with that reality that you grew up with in childhood. So it's been wonderful. We're really lucky to live in an era where we know that the brain can change. It does take work, it takes persistence, but it is so worth it. Because once you have touched your authentic self, you never want to let it go, even though you will be paying a price sometimes for being your authentic self. Okay. So let's get started. If you have a question, you can put it into the chat or you can raise your hand. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, how are
Okay.
you? How can I help you?
Yeah, I want to talk about this guy you might remember. I'm not sure, it's been a while. He lives in LA and I'm
Okay.
in San Diego, and looks like I might see him. We're kind of planning to
Would this be the first in-person meeting?
yeah, so it'd be like next Friday.
Okay, great.
So there's been, yeah,
Yay!
I hope so. I mean, he tried to come down three times early, like a month ago, and different things came up. So I kind of have learned to not totally count on that, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I think so. So yeah, there's a lot of really wonderful things about him. He's super nice, super generous. He texts me every day, you know, good morning, beautiful. And I don't actually really like texting, and I told him that, but I don't think he understood it, so I just kind of go with it, you know.
Right.
We haven't really talked on the phone much. I think three times now in 6 weeks. And we did, I think, two or three short Zooms.
Okay, but the daily
So,
texting is good. He's checking in. I like the first thing in the morning too.
yeah. So the thing is, I think he knew from the very first phone call. He told me he felt very connected to me, and
Yeah, that's usually how men are. They know right away.
yeah, I mean, he hadn't even seen me other than, you know, online pictures. And so he just continues to like me more and more, and I'm not really there, and I'm worried that I'm really slow for someone to grow on me, and I think it would have to be like a number of times in person, and I'm starting to feel kind of nervous that where we're at, you know, doesn't match, and that I noticed like today when we talked, like I felt sort of pressured to give him a compliment after he gave me a bunch of them. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
just
Okay.
to not be awkward, you know? I mean, I do think he has some great things, but I don't really know how I feel about him.
Okay. Well, that's okay. The most successful relationships are when he likes her a little bit more. Okay. So it's okay if he likes you a little bit more than you like him, first of all. Second of all, like I said before, you're not going to know how it is until you guys meet in person. That's going to be the real litmus test. So
But
anything that's,
I may not know then either.
no, you may not,
Yeah.
but it will be different. Do you understand? That's
Yeah.
going to change. That's going to make a difference. It's going to be different than just texting or talking on the phone.
Yeah.
So I would just, hold your horses. Don't make any assumptions. Don't make any judgments. Sometimes people can be very brave in texts, and then you meet up in person and they don't say anything at all. I'm pretty
Yeah.
sure somebody has shared that at meetup before, that like they were chatting very well with somebody online and then they met in person and they couldn't,
But
make the
more what I'm
conversation going.
concerned, yeah, more what I'm concerned about is I don't want to hurt him, and at the same time I don't want to feel like I saying things that aren't really true for me, you know, like just because it's awkward, right?
Right.
So
Well, you
how.
know, that's your people pleasing tendency. And so you got to watch not cherishing his feelings. You got to put your feelings first. And when you find those thoughts coming up, oh, I need to give him a compliment. Oh, I need to cherish his feelings. I don't want to hurt him. I mean, obviously, don't be a jerk, but it's fine to state things politely, you know? No is a complete sentence. If you're not interested, no is fine. Don't worry about hurting his feelings.
So what if at the end of our get together, you know, we'll meet in the park, like if I'm like undecided, what do I say?
What do you mean?
Like, it was really nice to meet you. I'd be,
Oh, when you're saying goodbye?
yeah, like I'm interested to see
You
if.
can, yeah, you can just, you know. He's going to take the lead because he's in the masculine. So you just, you know, passive, patient, vulnerable, available, and open to his leadership, respecting his thoughts, you know, t leading with your feelings, telling how you feel.
What do I say if he says I really like you? You know, what
So say thank you. That's okay. Why is that a bad thing?
I feel like I'm ungrateful if I don't reciprocate because there's a lot of wonderful things about him, you know?
Well, that doesn't mean you have to like him. And it also doesn't mean I really ad will advise you, regardless, to not do things like that, to not communicate like that, because it tends to be a dead end conversation. I
So
really
what?
like you. I really like you. Then what? Don't do that. Just say thank you. That makes me feel really good.
That is generally what I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Just accept it. If somebody really likes you, that's a good thing.
Okay.
Okay. I look forward to hearing. Hopefully, this date's going to happen. If this date doesn't happen, I don't know that you should really continue talking to him because now you've invested a lot of time talking to him and you guys really need to meet in person.
Well, he's Jewish and he's had the high holy days, and then right now there's another 8-day
Right.
holiday.
I'm giving him a little extra time because also he's in LA and you're
Yeah.
in. So it's a drive, but yeah, this in-person meeting has got to happen soon.
Okay.
Okay. Sophia.
Hey,
Hi, Sophia. How can I help you?
I have some advice. I mean, yeah, I need some advice for a guy that I'm potentially interested in. So I have this situation where I joined a new in-person church group, and it was kind of awkward because I know this is a good problem to have. Like, there were three dudes that seemed to be like interested in me. I don't know if it was too much. Yeah, it was a lot, but like, God, they had a lot of baggage. I don't even want to talk about the first one.
Yeah, most people are fixers.
Yeah, and then the second guy, I was interested in him during the group because he seemed to be pretty masculine. Like, he picked up a paper that I dropped or something like that, and then I kind of noticed some oddities with him, like he was a little too enthusiastic about playing the role of daddy for my son, and things kind of got weird. And then I found out that this guy looked like he was 25 or 24 even. He's 34, and I found out that he has never moved out of his parents' house. That guy, scratch him off the list. Now I'm left with this.
Oh, no, I can't hear you. Sophia, I just heard I'm left with. You went out. Are you
Can you
there?
hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay, I don't know why my phone does that all the time.
Okay.
But
Okay.
there's this one guy that I wasn't too on fire about, but he wasn't showing any super big red flags so that I could see. And I'm just kind of like feel like I wasted my opportunity because I didn't reciprocate any interest in him. Like I was polite and everything, but now I'm just looking for advice on how I can turn that around the next time I see him because I think he was showing some signs of interest.
Okay, good. So, if he liked you last time, then he'll probably like you next time. When's the next meeting? Is it once a week or something?
It's every other week.
Every other week. Okay. So then he'll still probably like you in a couple weeks, and that's okay for you to be a little mysterious. You don't have to fall all over yourself. Just make sure next time you see him that, you give him the eye contact and smile. That you are open to what he has to say, that you respect his thoughts when he's telling you things, right? If you want, you can ask him for help or you can ask for his advice. So those are the basics, Does that sound doable?
Yeah, I think so. I think I might be overthinking it or something.
I think, I think it's fine that, I think it's fine. Are you feeling triggered by something?
Oh no, I was just kind of like spooked because I was like, well, he seems so normal. What's wrong with him?
Right,
And
right.
I don't know. I always
Okay,
feel
that's
like,
a good sign. That's a very good sign. And sometimes for those of us who are used to having like more of those roller coaster type relationships, it is a shock when we meet someone and it's so normal. And it can be very jarring. Just be aware of that and make sure it doesn't for like push you away. It is going to be different because so you are going to have some pain of change. Do you understand? It's going to feel unfamiliar. That's okay. It might even feel a little boring. It's not up and down, right? Because
Yeah, and I had it in my head like, oh, this guy he's probably like not that compatible with me if I'm not like feeling on fire about him or whatever, but I heard some study that the person that you don't feel on fire about, like who just seems like blah on the date, is actually the most likely to be compatible with you.
Well, sometimes you can have a crazy chemistry for people who fulfill roles in your script, right? And so those are people who replicate your caretakers from childhood to a certain degree. Because the idea is if I can work it out with this person, that will heal my wound because this is like a stand-in for my dad or my mom or whoever. So it's usually the case that the person that you have the most insane, crazy chemistry and sex life with isn't a long-term partner. But that doesn't mean that you can't have chemistry, compatibility, communication with somebody who's more stable. And, a lot of people get very seduced by the dopamine that's released when we're in a kind of a roller coaster relationship. We get love bombed, and then we get ghosted or whatever it is. We're fighting a lot. It's very up and down. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's off. We can get kind of addicted to those chemicals that are released in our system, those hormones, because just like we get addicted to alcohol. And so when you get into a more stable situation, it's gonna feel a little different and maybe a little bit more boring, and that's okay because it's not sustainable to keep going on a roller coaster. You've already had that, you know what that's like. So it's not sustainable to keep fighting with someone and making up and breaking up. It's really bad for your nervous system also. Okay, well, I look forward to hearing how it goes.
Yeah, thank you for the tips.
You're welcome.
Hey,
Okay.
Tori, do you want to look at the see what Scott has to ask?
Yes, thank you. Okay. I believe I have traits of self-sabotage. How do I recognize that and change it? Do you want to elaborate on that, Scott?
I just feel like sometimes I'm more negative. I can preoccupy myself with negativity, and maybe I just trying to be more positive would
Okay.
help my perspective.
Okay. So, yeah, that's again, for those of us who've had childhood trauma, we've had to be on the lookout for things that were going wrong. And so, a lot of times, we take that coping mechanism that saved us and helped us survive, and we bring it into our adulthood and specifically into our dating life, and it doesn't work anymore. Then it becomes the thing that, like you're saying, is sabotaging you. So, one of the things that you can do, and I like to do this like when I'm falling asleep, instead of running through your head everything that went wrong that day, run through your head everything that went right. So, it's like a little hack to get that dopamine drip going in your brain. All of us need dopamine, which is that like short-term instant gratification, and all of us need serotonin, which is that right, that longer term sense of contentment. But we don't need a big blast of it. Like you get a big blast of dopamine, for example, when you shoot heroin. So it's really better to like dopamine drip yourself gradually all day. But specifically when you go to bed at night, just run through all the things that went right instead of wrong. That in and of itself will probably start to make a difference for you. And then sometimes what I tell my clients is, you're already at a point of awareness with it, which is good, which is the first step, right? You first have to become aware of it, then you can fix it, then you can clean it up. So you're already at a point of awareness of it with of awareness with it. So when you notice yourself doing it, if you can't think of something positive, if you can't reframe it in a positive way, what you can do at least is acknowledge that you don't know what will happen, because all of us here on Earth or in this room are humans, and we really can't predict the future. And if you've been on the planet long enough, you know that life surprises you all the time, despite, oh, I know what's going to happen. This will happen. And he'll let me down, and she'll wrong me. It very, very, we're very bad, typically humans, at predicting the future. So if you can at least acknowledge if you're in a negative spiral of thought, okay, well, I don't know what's going to happen. If you can just surrender that, that's also really helpful. And then, if you get pretty good with those two things, you can start expanding the dopamine drip like throughout the day so that you're doing it all day. So it's not just at night, but you can just it's kind of like celebrating the wins. Wow, that was really nice. This watermelon tastes really good. This is like the best watermelon I've ever had, or I've had all summer, and that would be like a little dopamine drip, even if you were to, like, not to eat a whole cake, but maybe even just eat a cookie, right? That would be a dopamine drip. So doing, recognizing those wins and things that you can think of during the day, positively, and it will take some practice, will help you start to shift that. Does that make sense? Oops, sorry.
Yes, it does. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I look forward to hearing your update. I always want to hear, once I give you guys homework, I want to hear how you're doing with it and if it's working for you, if you need tweaking or you didn't understand something, whatever it is. So I love to hear your questions and your updates. Okay. Ali or Ali?
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Am I saying your name right? Is it Ali?
Yes.
Okay. How can I help you, Ali?
I had a couple questions. I'm trying to see pretty much where to seek relationships, serious wise, stuff like that. Where's a best place where you can go out and meet people and do this, and like kind of like explore the world and just meet someone that's serious? Because it seems like typically in my age group, it's very hard to find something like that, and it's typically because a lot of people are into their careers, a lot of people are not, not just financially but not mentally stable. So with me, with relationships, it's been a very bad experiences, and I'm kind of like so scared to kind of experience it, but now I'm kind of willing to at least try. and see, you know, what's in store for me.
Okay, so what's your age, right? What did you say your age group was?
23.
Oh, okay, so you're young, but you're like ready to find your person and get
I'm
married.
just trying to mainly, how do I say it? Not get married, but I'm trying to more seek something serious to experience. So it's mainly
Like a
for,
committed relationship.
yes, but for the
Okay.
experience mainly. But it's been a very bad experience because I came across people that just, you know, they're just not all there. Like I've even, you know, seen 30-year-old women, and they're just mentally, financially, they may be there, but not mentally. And
Yeah.
it kind of is a very difficult position for me to kind of,
Right. I hear you.
yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. In your intimate relationships, your romantic relationships, what do you want more? Do you want your feelings cherished or do you want your thoughts respected? Everybody wants
What's
both, which is.
the
So, thoughts respected is more the masculine. That means you'll be more in control. You'll be taking the leadership. You'll be the pursuer. You'll be the one planning the dates, asking the person out. The feelings cherished is more the yin or the feminine position, which means you're more receiving. You're more available to the other person's leadership. You're more on the you're more listening as opposed to talking. This is just
So
generally, I
I
mean,
think more to masculine would be better for me because I don't like, you know, being a receiver.
okay,
Yeah,
so
and that's in
you know,
situation.
I just want to put it out there, like you don't have to be a man to be in the masculine energy, and you don't have to be a woman. It often works that way, like
Yeah.
75% of the time, but not always. So, you know, there's no shame in if you're a man and you want to be in the feminine energy and be the receiving and have a more like domineering or, you know, stronger woman in your life. Okay. I just want to clarify that, but you're not that. You want to be in the masculine. Okay. So you're looking to find somebody. I prefer flirting and meeting in person over dating apps because.
Where specifically? Because that seems to be an issue.
Okay, so you know, follow. It's always a good idea to follow your interests. I have clients who are learning. Think about where the women you like. Look around your city. Where do they hang out? Are they on the golf course? Are they playing pickleball? Are they at the dog park? Are they at the hotel
So
bar?
currently, I'll just give you a little brief description of my life. I just currently work and go home. In January, I'm gonna go back to school. That whole situation with my school, I'm trying to figure out my career. But anyways, I think school's a good place. But since currently I'm not in school,
Yes, school is a good place. School and work are both good because you get to know people without the stress of having to ask to keep going on dates. But I'm going to give you an assignment, and it's called
please.
the five flirts. And what you're going to do is, in the course of you're going to be flirting 5 days a week, okay?
Okay.
Four of those days are going to be just in the course of whatever you're doing. If you're walking your dog, if you're going to the grocery store, if you're going to Bed Bath and Beyond, the truth is you can meet someone anywhere, right?
I see. Yeah.
So if you see someone that catches your fancy that you like, you're going to give her 5 seconds of eye contact and smile. And if she returns that, with substantial eye contact and smile, not just like a quick glance. But if she returns that with substantial eye contact and smile, then you know she's interested and you can then approach. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, one day a week, I want you to find a place, plant yourself somewhere, whether it be the coffee shop next to a yoga class, whether it be
Mall.
the mall. You know, wherever it is, plant yourself, go alone, 45 minutes to an hour. And then if you see someone you like and you give them the eye contact and smile, there's the opportunity that they can sit down, that they can join you, that you can have a little bit more of a conversation that you might than you might if you were just like, you know, in the course of your day.
The conversation can relate to anything. Could be about the mall, about the
Exactly.
freedom.
But
Could
you
be.
want to, since you're in the masculine, you're going to be leading with your thoughts and you're going to be cherishing her feelings. So if the conversation's going well, you might say, how do you feel? I really want to take you to dinner. How do you feel about going to dinner with me?
On the first time?
If it's going
Oh,
great.
yeah. Sorry. If it's going well, you said.
Yeah, if it's going well. Not if it's not going well, just say, I want to speak to you again. How do you feel about giving me your phone number? Whatever it is.
You recommend on the first time, in the end, if the conversation went well in the end, to ask for her number.
Yeah.
Okay, because the problem with me is I don't really have experience, like I stated. So that seems it's I have a problem in social skills, so that seems to be an issue for me too. I don't know how to approach in a not awkward situation.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Like you said, the conversation can really be about anything.
Okay.
And you can use things in the environment, or give her a compliment. Nice sweater, I love your dog, whatever it is. Not
Where
something.
do you recommend I go that would be an appropriate place? Not just appropriate, but just a place where I can actually approach somebody and you know
Well, it depends, play with it a little bit. It depends on you. It's not like there's one specific place. So, maybe try one place and see if it's good, or then if it's not, then you can try another place. Like I said, I mean, I remember when I was single, there's stairs near my place where all the firemen go. Okay.
Yeah.
So I would go there.
Why don't you recommend dating apps?
I mean, I think they're okay, and I think that sometimes people do meet on the dating apps, of course, and I've had clients for whom it's been successful. But for a lot of people, it tends to be a time suck and a little dehumanizing, because ultimately you're checking boxes on a list, and meeting someone, being attracted to someone, having chemistry for someone, a lot of those things are sort of unpredictable.
Because it needs to be in person, typically.
Exactly. And so then, even if you do have a match with someone, then you start talking on the app. Then it takes, another while to meet in person. It tends to be like a time
Or
suck.
that she doesn't want to put the effort to if it's on the dating app.
Sorry, say that again.
Also, she doesn't want to put the effort if it's on the dating app. Like,
Yeah, and sometimes people just don't like being on their computer,
but then it's like, what's the point of having a dating app account if you don't, you know what I mean?
Exactly. But
At
like
that point,
I'll tell you, I
you
often get women being like, I don't know, I can't do it, I'm getting sucked in, it doesn't seem to be working. It just, for a lot of people, it tends to harm more than help. And it also, you're just that much further out for that in-person meeting. And I don't know if you're here from the beginning of the meeting, but
No,
until
today's my
you,
first.
okay, well, until you actually see someone in person, you really don't know if you like them or not. And you really don't have a relationship if you don't see them in person.
What if it's FaceTime constantly? I mean, you still can tell by their personality.
You can, but you do need to meet in person,
I see.
because things are just different from that.
So you were saying masculine and feminine. So let me ask you a question. As a man, does that cause problems if you are the feminine? Because now it's like she's sucking you in every single time. And then you as a man kind of get frustrated and kind of like don't want to deal with it. Because I think that seems to be the issue with me, is the frustration of that, like her calling the shots and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, what I think you're saying is that you let a woman ask you out sometimes because maybe you don't have the confidence or the skills to be the pursuer. And then it doesn't work out so great because she's then calling the shots.
Yeah, consistently calling the shots.
Right,
Like a one-time
right. Okay,
thing.
so I have another client actually that I worked with last night, and he has that exact same problem because he's kind of going from being a little bit more of a feminine guy, but he wants to be more masculine. But w aggressive women are always approaching him because they think he might be one of those feminine guys that they can control, and it drives him bananas. If a woman asks you out, you're probably not compatible with her because she wants to be in the masculine energy and you want to be in the masculine energy. And that's a setup for a power struggle. That's a setup for a fight.
Typically, do women want to be in the masculine energy, or it's the opposite?
There's no real typically, a lot of women, there's been a lot of confusion from feminism, which was really an economic movement more than a psychological one. They don't teach us stuff in school. So a lot of women find themselves in the masculine, and especially if they're high achieving and they're in the work world and they've had to fend for themselves. Not that they necessarily want to be in the masculine in their personal relationships, because that does tend to burn a woman out. Now, if you find a woman that you think is pretty masculine, but you like her, you can try to push her into her feminine a little bit more by, if she tells you her thoughts, asking about her feelings, by continuing to try to cherish her feelings and kind of like redirect. That could work, because once a woman gets her feelings cherished, if she's in feminine energy authentically, then that's going to make her feel safe.
When would you observe if she wants to be the masculine or feminine?
Well, you can observe it right from the beginning,
So
He who
typically.
speaks first is masculine.
Okay, I see.
Okay. So I would tell you what I told my other client who's having this same problem. If a woman asks you out, say no.
Automatically, it's not a good
Yeah,
sign.
because it's going to be too much of a power struggle.
Okay.
You got to be the pursuer.
Are there women out there that actually do that?
What, that ask guys out?
Yeah.
Yeah, lots. Lots.
I don't know of any. I don't
Well,
know them typically.
you're a young guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll see. But
Okay.
yeah, try those things and let me know how it goes.
Okay. Do you recommend I approach multiple just to see? Okay, maybe this is the one. Okay, maybe that's the one. Do you recommend, like, what would you recommend? I just start off with one girl, or I go
No,
more.
I mean, ideally, before you commit to someone, you're dating like three people.
Okay, so typically you should, from what I'm trying to just clarify, you should kind of typically date three people just to get a better vibe on each one.
Yeah, and you're gonna have to ask more people out than they're gonna say yes, right? So
I see. And you typically
there's.
better to ask her out on the first try, I'm assuming.
I mean, if you feel like you can do it, yeah. If you're getting the vibe, do it.
What do you recommend though, if there's a good chemistry, if there's a good
There's
vibe?
not like a one size fits all, but yeah, if it's going well, close. Try to close. Because a
So you're
lot of
here.
times what happens, and this is also what happens with my other client, is he slips into this other zone where he gets friend zoned, right? Because he
Yeah.
doesn't make a move and the window closes for him to make a move.
I see.
Part of
And
love,
when,
part of romance is timing.
but do you recommend typically on the first, if the chemistry and everything is good? Because I was under the impression,
Yeah.
oh, take a month or
No,
more than
no.
that.
I mean, I do think friendship is a really good foundation for a relationship, but that doesn't mean you can't ask for dates or for plans, right?
Just to get a vibe on things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you got to start getting to know her.
Okay, I see. So, best recommendation, date like at least three girls, go out and pretty much
And then
hit.
see who you like the best
Okay.
and who likes you.
Okay. I guess
Okay.
I'll do that.
Okay. Good luck.
All right.
I look forward to your update. Okay. Do we have any more questions or comments? You can ask about anything that I've said up to this point. Here, I'm going to put my credentials into the chat again. So, you guys want to reach out to me before next meetup, you can. You can also check out the books and, of course, sign up for the modules. Okay, if there's no more questions, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm usually here on Thursday nights. I will be here next week. And I'm going to be here really up until Thanksgiving, and then I usually take a break for the holidays. So, thank you for coming. and asking questions and being part of this community. We're one of the biggest relationship groups on Meetup now, which is really gratifying. And I look forward to hearing from you guys and hearing how these tools are working for you. Have a good night.